Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By EnduranceCon, coming up June 27th and 28th, Long Beach Convention Center. Purchase tickets, go to EnduranceCon.com. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've been around for 26 years now. Raised over $112 million this last year. We sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out challengedathletes.org for all the info. And check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, and all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, she won the 30 to 34-year-old European Championships ITU division this last summer. Her name is Claire Danson. Claire, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
It's a pleasure. We have not met before, but I've been following your story. And so, growing up, were you into swimming, cycling, running? Were those your passions?
Growing up, I was very much the kid that did absolutely everything. So I did all the team sports at school, and then I did like athletics, which had obviously running and. I did do swimming, but not massively competitively, to be honest. My dad used to take us out on our bikes. But again, it was more just, you know, anything and everything as a kid when I was growing up.
So Alex is your older sister?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And she obviously got into hockey. I think in this country it's field hockey.
Yeah.
And did you follow her at all into that?
Yeah, so to begin with... I did very much. I did lots of hockey. I played for like the county level over here. And then I actually wasn't very well in my sort of teenage years, sort of didn't play sport for a little bit. And then when I got a bit better again, I took up running to sort of quite a competitive level, really. And then from there, went into triathlon.
And when you got in the triathlon, did you have success right away?
Relative, nothing like. So I think the first race that I was in, I qualified to compete in the World Championships and the Europeans next year. And then it took me sort of a couple of years really to find my feet and start sort of being sort of winning races, as it were, sort of at a more than a kind of local level, as it were.
Right.
But certainly my love was there straight away.
And so on the ITU circuit, 11 starts, 3 podiums, 1 win as age grouper. And then June 1st, 2019, 209.57, ETU Tri European Championships. You win that thing. Did you surprise yourself?
I think I knew I was really fit, but I go to competitions assuming everyone will be as fit as I am. So I know they're going to be super tough. I sort of was just hoping that I didn't mess up, and I thought if I don't mess up, I've got a good chance here. Luckily, I didn't mess up. I didn't do anything daft like I've done before, like run the wrong way, or that was in one of my first races.
So, what's the age difference between you and Alex?
3.5 years.
Okay, and so obviously she's watching what you're doing. You're watching when she's getting a silver and a gold in hockey and gold in 2016. Did you go to the Olympics to watch?
I didn't, unfortunately. I couldn't get there, but I was very much holding the banner back home, as it were. So had like all my friends around watching on the telly and that kind of thing. I mean, it's just an incredible thing to see.
Oh. Big time. Captain of the team. They win the gold medal.
Yeah.
And were you the type of sisters who were like competitive with each other, supportive of each other? A little both?
Very much supportive, I think. I can't say that I ever, and I think she would say the same, ever felt particularly competitive with each other. Just because we were sort of two very different people, as it were, and actually just got on, which I think was pretty lucky, really. Very, very much supportive there. She flew out actually for my first GB appearance. She flew out with my brother and they surprised me. I didn't know they were going to be there. So that was
Wow. Just,
it was so nice. It was really lovely.
Well, and then she has this horrific accident where she's in Kenya with her boyfriend and is laughing at a joke and throws her head backwards, hits a concrete wall. And basically that she had to relearn balance. She had horrific headaches. And is at that point, you haven't had your accident yet. So how tough was that for you and the family to deal with while your sister's going through this hell?
Oh, it was really tough. So she came back and she lived at home with, so I lived with my parents. So we were all living together. And there's just nothing you can really do. You're watching the person who you know as this super strong, independent person suddenly just needs you there and needs you to help her, which of course we all were doing. But, you know, concussion is such a horrible thing in that everyone is different. There isn't a magic cure. All you can do is go day by day and do everything you can to help the person, which of course, you know, we did. But just wanting to make something better that you can't is obviously one of the most difficult things.
And it's one of those things we deal with a lot at Child's Athlete Foundation with just that invisible injury, right? Where people look at her and go, Alex, you look fine.
Yeah. And in the early days, she didn't. But now I think it's difficult because, as you say, it is very much that hidden injury.
Right.
You know, she still has headaches.
Of course.
But she functions and people see her. And to look at her, sometimes you wouldn't realize. We know because we can tell from the signs if she's tired or you know, if her head's hurting, she'll pull at her hair and that sort of thing. So we know what to look out for. But it's difficult because we all know she's running at sort of 60-70%, not her usual 100%.
Right. And she came back and, you know, playing with the team again and realized that, hey, she had an 18-year career is pretty amazing. And
but I think so.
Yeah. And a gold and a silver and retiring at that point, people look back and go, hey, you had a great career. You could have had injuries earlier. Nobody wants to go out not on their own terms. It's always hard when injury like that forces you out. But I'm sure it was bittersweet. But at the same time, she retires. And for you, you talk a little bit about, you know, August 28th, 2019. You were out cycling, and what happened?
So I was out cycling. It was the day before I was actually due to fly to a race in Austria.
Uh-huh.
So just doing my last kind of, you know, easy ride before getting back to pack my bike up and get ready to go. It was a route that I must have done hundreds of times, and I just went around a corner and there was a tractor there, and we collided. And then I don't really, after it had happened, I don't remember a huge amount else until I was in the hospital.
Right. That's the worst part. Well, you know, it's probably a positive that you don't remember what happened. You wake up were you in a coma for a while?
I think I was actually conscious the whole time, although I don't remember it. So they told me that I was talking. They actually, when my family were at the hospital, they let them come in and see me because I was still talking at that point. And I think the thought process was they didn't know whether I was going to actually make it through. So if I wasn't, they wanted them to have spoken to me. They wanted someone to tell me that everything was going to be okay. But as I say, I don't remember those things now. And then I believe that I was in and out of an induced coma because they said to my family that, you know, the pain alone should have knocked me out, and it hadn't. And I think it was the kind of way to do things, as far as I can gather from what people have told me.
Wow. And when I look at the list of the injuries from the, you know, two punctured lungs, broken finger, both wrists broken, head of the humerus, both shoulders fractured, all the bones in your neck, multiple fractures and breaks in all the ribs. And then your spine was severed at T9. When did the doctors tell you that you were paralyzed?
All I can remember is when I woke up, it was members of my family that were around me. And each time I woke up, they would say to me, "You're in Southampton Hospital. You had a really terrible accident on your bike. It's going to be okay." And I don't remember any specific person telling me that I was paralyzed, but I knew. So either I knew or someone must have told me.
Right.
But it's hard to remember that exact moment.
Sure. When did you start thinking, okay, I was a triathlete before this, I want to be a triathlete again?
I think it was one of my very first thoughts. So when I woke up, all I remember thinking is, well, I'm not going to be able to do triathlon, so I'm going to have to do paratriathlon. And actually one of the first things, so when I was on a ventilator, so I couldn't talk, and they gave me, so they'd talk through the alphabet or use a letter board.
Mm-hmm.
When they got to the letter that I wanted to spell out in the word I was spelling, I'd squeeze a finger.
Yes.
One of the very first things I start out was para-athlete. And I remember they were talking about my surgeries, and I remember lying there thinking, they don't get it. They don't realize that they have to find the best surgeon, because I was aware of how broken my arm was.
Right.
And how much I would need it, because I knew I wouldn't have my legs.
Right.
So I then proceeded to go on to try and communicate with this to them. And with the surgeon in the room, I said to them, or I spelt out, I don't care when you do the operations, but I need the best surgeon. At which point my sister was like, to the surgeon, are you good? And he was like, yes, of course, I'll look after her. Me being me, wasn't quite satisfied that they hadn't done they'd done enough research. So I then spelt out the name of a family friend who actually is herself a surgeon in upper limb surgery. And Alex took from that exactly what I wanted her to, which is that they needed to check with her that this man would be good enough.
And was he?
He was incredible. Just has become a great friend, actually, himself, despite me insisting he was checked out on.
But you got to. I mean, in reality, you're absolutely right. From covering a lot of our wheelchair athletes over time, when you're doing swim, bike, run, it's all with your arms. You're transferring, right, from your chair to the car. Everything you're doing is with your shoulders. And one of the issues we have with our paralyzed athletes when they get in their 40s and 50s is it's not like you can do a knee replacement. It's shoulders are just, when it's gone, it's gone. So you were absolutely spot on. Make sure you got the best doctor out there, because with one arm, that doesn't do it. You needed both.
No, yeah. Well, quite. And I think, as I say, from very early on, I seemed to be aware of that. So I guess that did me well.
Yeah. Well, I remember this is actually just a couple years ago, we had a young woman named Lauren Parker on this show. You know Lauren? You know of her story?
I know of her. Yeah.
Yeah, for our listeners, Lauren came on the show after she had been a top age grouper in Kona. In 25-29, she took a silver in 2015, went pro in 2016, and then she was training for Ironman Australia in 2017 when both tires flatted and she went into a guardrail, was paralyzed from the waist down, and talked to her within 2 months of the injury, and she says, "Bob, I want to get back in the paratriathlon." And I'm like, well, that starts by coming to our San Diego Triathlon Challenge that CAF has been putting on for the last 26 years, coming up this October, because you'll meet 150 challenged athletes from all over the planet who will show you what it takes to, become the very best as a paratriathlete. And then within a year, Lauren got a bronze in the Commonwealth Games, and this last year she won the world championship. So she's going to have some competition from you, Claire.
Yeah, I have a bit of a way to go, but I'd love to be able to do it again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And now I saw something, I think it was just January, you and you and Alex did a little 5K.
Yeah, we did. So I just needed to get back out and be doing,
of course,
be doing things. So that I knew there was a race relatively locally that I knew I'd be able to go around in my chair. So we went around it. It was not vast. I was doing it in my hospital chair still, which is not easy.
No, it's way heavy. Yeah.
But it was just so great to be out there and to be in amongst that atmosphere again, and be doing it without anyone needing to help me at all.
Right.
It was incredible.
So in terms of the rehab, where are you at now in terms of what strength you have and where you feel, when you feel you're going to be ready to potentially get out there and even get in a racing chair or a hand cycle?
So I'm, I have been, I went to this week, actually, I went to like a taster day for some hand cycling.
Uh-huh.
So got in one and had a go. And that again was just another amazing experience. So having not been at any speed for, goodness knows how long now, 6 months?
Yeah.
I finally got back outside, spent a decent amount of time outside as well, going around the track. So that was amazing.
Wow.
So the next step there, I guess, is to investigate kind of what hand cycle I might want to get for myself.
Yep.
But I think that's going to take a little bit of investigation and, in terms of knowing what I need and that kind of thing.
Well, I'll connect you right away with Carlos Maleda, who's been sort of our point person with Top End, which makes some of the best hand cycles. And he's also a 5-time Ironman world champion in the hand cycle division. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of finding out the right. In fact, what's great, this is a great era for hand cycling just because in the past it was very difficult because a hand cycle is like an upside down bicycle. So you really couldn't do power meters and things like that. You really couldn't do wattage testing. But Carlos and his partner have figured that out, and so they're doing camps with, lactate testing and all the rest of it, just to get the same type of, Olympic training that you would get as an Olympian, as a Paralympian. So a Paralympic hopeful.
Wow.
So there's a lot of it's a good time. It's a good time for getting the right equipment. So you got in a hand cycle where you were able to go around outside?
Yeah, yeah. And that was just incredible. I did that this week. And then I've been I'm actually still in, I don't know if Laura said, but I'm actually still
in rehab.
In a rehab unit at the moment. Yeah. Hoping to come out at the end of March, so like another month.
Good.
But whilst I'm here, I'm full whenever they'll let me, which is 2 to 3 times a week. But I'm back swimming on my front and doing front crawl and things.
Really?
Took a little bit of time because I had to go in with my collar on at first. But I was badgering them to get in the pool literally from about day 2. Like, when am I allowed to go in the pool? When can I go in the pool?
So what you need to do is you need to have somebody videotape you. This is what we did with Lauren, is we had someone videotape her and send us the video to our swim specialist, Alan Voisard, who works with all of our challenge athletes. And he made some minor adjustments that changed everything for Lauren. With some strapping around the ankles and things like that, just changed everything in terms of her feel for the water. And we've got the right team to get you where you want to go. So it's
amazing.
And actually the timing is good because you could be, obviously this Paralympics is coming up too soon, but you've got 2024 in Paris is not a bad place to go.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, and our week is, in terms of our San Diego Triathlon Challenge week, because you'll be out of the hospital soon, this is in October. So that week of October 18th, that's when we have everything going on here, and that it'll be important for us to get you out there for that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Thank you.
No, it'll be our pleasure. It'll be great for you to meet Carlos Maleda, David Bailey, former Ironman champions. Now, are you more, at this point, it's good to focus on Olympic. I know that Lauren wants to go and do Kona again in the hand cycle. But for the beginning, just looking at that sprint, that's going to be far enough for you for now.
Okay.
right? Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking it's still a 750 swim and the 20K bike and 5K racing chair. So that's, and then the biggest part is just all the equipment, right? Racing chair, cycle, racing wheels, wetsuit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you need a Sherpa to travel around with all this stuff. God.
Yeah.
When you look back at all of this, what do you look at as the lowest point of this?
Probably the fear of not being able to do sport again.
Yeah.
Not being able to be competitive again. To me, is a massive low point. And then potentially losing like the people I've met through.
Yes.
Everything, because everything I do is, and all the people I know are all people like me.
Right.
Suddenly you've kind of lost that part of what you feel is a massive bit of your identity. I think that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, the social group, the social aspect, especially of the sport of triathlon, because, you know, you need people who want to suffer, right? Because that's basically what you do. You go for these long swims, long bike rides, long runs, and then go out to eat. But you've got to find people who have that same mindset, and you don't want to lose that. Those you've already found those people, and there's no reason you can't, when you're ready, go for hand cycle rides with folks who are on their bikes. It's the same thing. It's just a little different.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wicked.
Yes, you will be great. It's nobody wants this type of thing to happen, but in this era, there's a lot of opportunity out there, especially for people who love sport, because there's so much out there. And I'm sure there's a ton in the UK. Have you already checked into who in terms of the para program in the UK?
A little bit, not a huge amount. I've had like a little bit of talk with the coaches there, but we're kind of not a huge amount yet.
Right.
They're
focused on
message from one of them.
Yeah, they're probably focused on 2020. So they'll get to you when it's when things lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Now the fact that Alex has been going through her struggles as well, is that bonded you guys closer since you're both going through a lot?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've always been really close, but obviously when Alex had her accident. And she came to live at home, and I was there kind of helping her, making sure that I got all my training done really early.
Yes.
And made sure I swam, and I was back by the time she woke up. And then I'd stay with her while she's getting up. And then I'd go out on my bike, and then I'd be back again. And so that obviously brought us closer. And then when I had my accident, she was in hospital every day.
Wow.
She was just there all of the time. Like, I couldn't. And I don't know what I would have done without her. Undoubtedly, despite the fact we were already close, this has just done, somehow it's made us even closer. Not that I didn't know that was possible, but
yeah,
100%.
And your parents, both daughters get injured. They must be like, what is going on?
Yeah. I mean, again, my parents are incredible. They live about an hour away from where I am, and one of them comes in every day. They kind of take it in turns. So there's always someone here. And likewise, with Alex, they were there looking after her as well. They are two exceptionally strong human beings.
So one of the people I want to connect you with, and I hope you'll be okay with this, because there's a few people I think will be really, really helpful for you. But one guy, Glenn Hartrick from New York, was able-bodied guy who was on the cover of Runner's World, just one of those guys who raced triathlons every weekend. And very similar to you, he had a van basically make a U-turn in front of him. He ended up going into it and becoming paralyzed. He was taking wheelchairs at the hospital in out of the hallways and going out to the parking lot and putting Strava on the chairs just to basically set course records in the parking lot. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And when I had him on the show, he was telling me, I want to be the fastest guy to you know, to get back. So I did a, you know, the fastest guy to transition from being paralyzed to completing an Ironman. And he was pretty fast. It was like, I think 2 years he ended up doing Ironman Florida, and then he did Kona last year. Yeah, it was very cool watching him do Kona. But one of the things he said to me early on that was interesting. I said, so how, what have you learned through this? And he goes, I learned that I needed to, that I was a barometer for everybody around me in terms of them moving on with their life. If they came to see me at the hospital and I was in a bad mood and just upset and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, they were more paralyzed than I was. They couldn't move forward with their lives. And he goes, I realized early on I had to pick a couple of people who I could confide in, but otherwise I had to sort of have that, you know, that happy face, that brave face, so that people could move on with their lives.
Wow, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Have you had that? Is that, or is it, maybe it's at this point, it's still fairly new for you.
Yeah. That's actually a really interesting perspective. I guess I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I can see exactly what he's saying. I guess at the moment there's just been such a lot of general support from people.
Yep.
That's kind of all I'm seeing at the moment.
Good.
And I think where we can, we're seeing it as a positive. So, like, being closer as a family and closer with friends, and the way you get people who just surprise you. Like, I think anything like this, when it happens, people
yep.
who you just didn't know cared so much.
Right.
Kind of are there for you.
That's awesome.
I've been super lucky on that, I think.
That's so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it. And I think that relationship with your sister is so important, just the fact that you were there for her and that she's there for you, and you guys can share anything. So that's going to be
better.
Actually, she may want to come with when you come out here in October.
I'm sure she would love to. Yeah, I can ask her. I'm sure she wouldn't say no.
That would be awesome. Very cool. Well, Claire, it's so nice to get to meet you over the phone. And just know that, you know, that's what we do at Challenge Athletes Foundation. It's you decide what your journey is going to be, and we try to help you get to whatever you want to get to.
Thank you. Oh, it's so lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Claire Danson has been our guest, and we will be in touch. I'll be Glenn Hartrick and Carlos Moleda, and there's so many amazing athletes who've, you know, they were athletes before, and then this happens to them, and they come back and finish the Olympics, finish Ironman. You never know where life's going to take you. And now, have you done an Ironman?
No, only a half. I would have done hopefully one this year, but obviously not now. But I'd like to do one at some point.
At some point. No rush.
No.
No rush at all. Claire, thank you so much for taking so much time. Really an honor to get to meet you.
Yeah, and you. Thank you so much.
All right. Claire Danson again has been our guest. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by You Can, Smarter Energy to Finish Stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by Endurance Con, coming up June 27th, 28th, Long Beach Convention Center, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This last year, we sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here.